Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
You know, I have a client that I called, and I'm going to change their names. I'm just going to call them Jim and Karen. And they did a mortgage with me about 3 years ago. And they, at that point, they were referred to me, and they did a purchase of a new home. And then a few weeks ago, I contacted them because rates have decreased, and it looked to me like, based on where they were, that maybe they could save some money with a refinance. And also, there may be some other ways that we could possibly save them money. When they bought the house, they didn't put a 20% down, which meant they had mortgage insurance. But with the market the way it's been, with the increase in the values of homes, with people paying their houses down, I thought, well, you know what? This could be a really good opportunity to help them save some money. And first, when we talked about their goals and what they most wanted to accomplish with a refinance. You know, if you're going to do the refinance, you want to make sure you accomplish the goals that you're after, what you want to accomplish in this refinance. And Jim, he wanted to lower his monthly payment. And the reason was he wanted to lower that so that they could afford a new car for his wife, Karen. And Karen was hoping to use the savings to pay the mortgage off at a little faster rate. In other words, she wasn't so worried about the car, but she was hoping, okay, we have a lower interest rate, we have a lower payment, we can kick in extra money to pay that mortgage off much quicker than what you would normally pay it off. And that is a normal reason to refinance. There's a variety of reasons people decide to refinance, and this is a pretty normal one. A lot of people either want to buy something additional, and they would like the payment break so they can feel more comfortable doing that, or they want to pay their house off quicker. Lots of people in the markets like we are today will go from a 30-year to a 15-year in order to accomplish that. So what we did with them is we looked through everything, and we wanted to see how much we could do. So I'm going to give you some of the basic statistics. Again, I'm not going to give exact information, but the houses in their case had increased at just over 3% per year. So that was just over $35,000, and they had built. Obviously, that's equity that they had built up. And then as they paid off their home, they had also paid down the mortgage by $26,000. So the house had gone up by $35,000, and the mortgage had dropped by $26,000. That's $61,000 in additional equity that they had today over when they financed the home originally. And with the increase in the value and the decrease in the loan amount, so we were able to, you know, with the appraisal, we got a higher value. They owed less on the house, and we were able to eliminate the monthly mortgage insurance. Well, not only were they saving on the interest rate, which is a big deal, but if you have mortgage insurance today, as they had, and you can get out of it or even just lower it. Mortgage insurance is done based on the loan amount, the credit score, and the loan to value. So if it's done in increments. So at 90 up to, you know, 90 to 95% gets you the highest mortgage insurance. Of course, if you're at, you know, go to 97% or FHA is 96.5. But basically up to 95%, that's going to be the highest mortgage insurance premium, 90.01 to 95. Then if you're at 85.01 to 90, it's a little lower. It usually can be quite a bit lower. And then 80 to 84.99, it's another level. And then at 80, it's no longer there if you're financing. And in this case, they were able to get out of it. But sometimes I have people who they aren't actually able to get out of the mortgage insurance, but they lower the mortgage insurance payment. Plus, we now have an appraisal at a higher amount. So we're much closer to being able to remove the mortgage insurance once they do pay the mortgage down to an 80% loan to value. So And the reality was for Jim and Karen, they ended up saving almost $300 per month, which they were going to use to upgrade Jim's car. And then they also wanted to pay a little extra on the month mortgage payment so they could pay it off early. So they were actually going to be able to accomplish both of their goals of not pay, you know, upgrading the car and also paying off the mortgage a little quicker than the time frame they were on their current mortgage. So when you're looking at this, the key really is to give me a call. We can talk about your situation because each situation is different. We need to know where you're at, you know, where you think your value is and what you owe on the home, you know, what your interest rate is. And we can look at all of that and then decide, you know, go through it and decide, you know, here's the best options and you can decide if it makes sense. Some people, it doesn't make sense at all, but many people today, even if you financed just 6 months ago, it's amazing how the rates have dropped so that the savings can be in there just through the interest rate drop. So it is something definitely worth looking at. If you're in that situation, you're thinking about refinancing, I think that you'll see that we can save you quite a bit of money by looking at the possibility of refinancing. I wanted to also go over today, I wanted to talk about, you know, we talked about the refinance a little bit, but there are a lot of people who are out there looking to buy homes. The average time on the market in Indiana right now, we're in the nation's lowest, the fastest sales, the lowest number of days on market, and we're under 30 days on market in the real estate market today. You know, that's a pretty significant number, and it tells you how strong our real estate market is. Now, if you're a seller, you can start, you know, this is a really good time to put a home on the market because the market is so hot and there's a lot more buyers right now than there are sellers. So it does give you a great time to sell your home. And because of the increases that we've had in the pricing of homes, you're tending to get really, good amounts of money, top dollar for the home, than what you were just a year or two ago. So homes, like I said, they have increased. And it's a very, very good time not only to buy but to sell. But if you're starting your home buying search, so if you're looking at the market and this low inventory dominates the conversation, as everybody knows throughout the country, 30 days or less to sell a home right now in Indiana on average. There's a low level of the inventory. Now, last week we talked about the fix-it mortgage option, and that's another way. You know, some of the homes that are sitting on the market are sitting there because they need some renovation. They need some work done. Maybe they need work done, or maybe they just need updating done, new kitchen, you know, paint, carpet, flooring, that type of thing. And we do, like we talked last week, we do have a great product for that to help you if you want to do something like that. And that will open up a lot of homes available to you. And normally those homes are a little lower priced. And so you can get everything you want in the home, fix it up, and almost have a brand new home, what would feel like a brand new home. Yet it's in a, you know, a neighborhood that's established. It has trees. It has, you know, everything's established, which is a big deal. As we talked about, it's, you know, when you're buying in a new neighborhood, that's one of the negatives people will have in a new neighborhood that's not established. There's still a lot, you know, there's construction going on. There's a lot of dirt, all that kind of thing. This takes that product can take care of that, and it can really help you here as you're starting your search for a new home if you open yourself up to a product like that. If you have any questions on it, just give me a call. We can talk through that. Again, my number is 7-658-5240. Now, here's the five tips for starting your home search. And these things are important as you're starting the search. Number one is you need to get pre-approved for a mortgage before you start your search. And why would you want to do that? Well, one of the reasons is you want to show that you're serious about buying your dream home. And the pre-qualification or pre-approval for a mortgage shows that to the seller. You have something to give the seller that lets them know you are you're pre-approved for the mortgage, that if they accept your offer, they're much more likely to have this home close than if you don't have a pre-approval letter or a pre-qualification letter. So it's really important that you communicate that to the seller. It also helps you in the fact that you need to know what you qualify for from a lender's point of view, so that you don't go out, fall in love with a home, and then find out it's outside of your price range, that it's not something that we can qualify you for. And that is a big deal. It may not sound like it is a big deal, but I've seen it really crush people when they go find a house, they spend the time, they spend the energy, they go out there and they're looking at homes, and you know, they may spend weeks looking at homes, they may spend months looking at homes, they find the home of their dreams, it's the home that they want, and lo and behold, unfortunately, they don't qualify. And for that price range, sometimes it's as easy as there's things on their credit report that are incorrect that take a little while to get fixed. And if we had known about it up front, we could have had that taken care of. And then sometimes it's just, the payment ends up being higher than what they can reasonably afford. So you really want to do a pre-approval to make sure that you're out there looking at the proper price range. And also that when you make that offer, that it's a good solid offer, and the seller of the property knows that is a solid offer because it's a pre-approval. The second tip is know the difference between your must-haves and your would-like-to-haves. And this is one that people I see get caught up in this. You want a list of all the things that you would like, but you've really got to know what it is that you have to have and what it is that you just would like to have. So let's say you need, you think you need a farmhouse sink in the kitchen to be happy, or maybe you want a 3-car garage instead of a 2-car garage. Some of those things, are you have to haves, and some of them are want to have, and it's nice to have that list separated so that when you are looking, you know what is higher on your list. What's the more important piece? So let's say you said, well, the farmhouse sink is the most important over the 3-car garage, or vice versa. That's probably a man is the 3-car garage. At least I am. I can tell you that for sure. I am the 3-car garage. The farmhouse sink is, that would be nice to have, but my wife would probably prefer that and not care so much about a three car garage. But it is important. The bottom line is on this, you have to remember you have to have your must haves. You have to have it's helpful to you. Not, you don't have to, but it's very helpful to you if you have that and you know what you must have in the absolute wish list. These things I really, really want. And many times what you will find, you'll sometimes find that even things that you think you absolutely had to have, you'll find a house that has enough other things that you don't necessarily need to do that. So it's nice to have the list. It's nice to have a good idea of what you're looking at, but you'll get, as you look at homes, that list may change some, and you may add some things, you may take some things off, but it really will help you very much help you as you look at homes. The third is research and choose the neighborhood where you want to live. And this is one that I think most people do a reasonably good job, but every neighborhood has unique charm. And before you commit to a home based solely on the home itself, you should obviously drive through the neighborhood. You should make sure it meets all your needs for amenities, community, school, district. And then, it's a good idea also to spend some time there at different times. Maybe even drive from work home to the new house or the area that you want to look at, or from, in the morning from the area you want to look at to your work. So how long is your commute going to be? Is that really going to work out? Obviously, we know with the way traffic is, especially on 465, that can be very difficult, and you can't really test it right now on the weekend because they have, I think they've decided to close every place in 465, so you can't get anywhere. But you want to do it during the times you're actually going to be driving it. So you want to do that to see how far it is. You want to walk the neighborhood. It helps a lot to go talk to some neighbors, find out what they like about the neighborhood, what they don't like about the neighborhood. What it is that, you know, you'll get to know them a little bit. You'll get to get a good feel for the area. What amenities does it have? You know, maybe the neighborhood doesn't have a pool, but maybe there's a pool close by that people join and all go to. You want to spend time in that neighborhood, becoming part of the neighborhood, making sure that's where you want to be. You're going to spend a lot of money, so it really helps to do that. And I know it's a little difficult in this market because homes are selling so quickly, but it's still worth doing as much as you can do, because you really don't want to get into a house that isn't the home that you were thinking it was and that you're not happy in. Number four is pick a home style you love and stick with it. And you want to evaluate your family's needs and settle on a style of a home that will best serve those needs. Just because you've narrowed your search to a certain zip code or a certain school district, certain area, doesn't mean that you need to tour every listing in that vicinity. You know, as an example, if you have several young kids and don't want your bedrooms on a different level, so you don't want a main level master, or if you do have a main level master, you want all your bedrooms on that same level, then you'd want to steer clear of Cape Cod style homes, which typically feature two or more bedrooms on the upper level and the master on the main. So you would want to make sure that you're looking at the proper homes and not go spend time looking at homes that really you don't have any interest in. If you don't want a main level master and all the bedrooms upstairs, you certainly don't want to spend your time looking at a home that has that set up. Or if it's a critical that you're certain things that are critical to you, if the house doesn't have it, it's really not worth spending the time and looking at. This last one is extremely important. You got to document your home visits. And what we mean by that is, as you tour homes, the homes will start to fade together. I spent years at a new home builder. We went to a builder convention and we toured homes in the area. And after about 10 or 12 homes, they all seemed the same. You not that they seemed the same. They all ran together. I couldn't remember one house from the other house. If my wife and I were looking at houses, I'd have been totally confused. I wouldn't have remembered, well, I think that house had this, but that house isn't one that had that. You need to document it. And it's very easy today with cell phones to be able to do that. It's extremely helpful. If you're starting to look at a home, let me know. I have an app that you can actually do that on, and it keeps track of everything. So it's very easy for you to do that. And you can make sure that you have that information so that you don't get so confused. And then you can eliminate the houses you don't want and only keep the houses you do. And it will help you immensely as you're looking at homes. And if you want access to that app, just give me a call, 317-658-5240. Again, that's 317-658-5240. And just let me know you want the app and I will get you that information. You can also go online at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Go to the contact area and just fill out that information, send it to me, and tell me in the notes that's what you would like, and I will get you the link to that app. But I think you'll find that extremely helpful. I can tell you, make it much easier as you're going out looking at homes. You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage, right here on Freedom 95. That's 95.9 FM and 950 AM.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Ritma.
Welcome back. This is Rick Ritma with Advisors Mortgage Group. And this is, I did want to mention my NMLS number is 664-589. That's 664-589. That's my NMLS number. The government gives us, we have to take a lot of tests to be able to get our NMLS number, and want to make sure that I give it out. Now I want to talk about the three reasons this is not the 2008 real estate market. You know, I keep hearing out there on the news that they're comparing the market that we have today to 2008, and they're saying that we're in a bubble, a housing bubble again, and they're trying to compare it. And it seems to me like it's, you know, back then, A lot of people were saying we weren't in a bubble, but there were a lot of indicators. If you look at those indicators, and you could see that we actually were in a bubble, and it was a completely different market. And today's real estate market is nothing like that 2008 market. When an economic slowdown happens, which it could happen, probably will, because we've been on such a tear that a slowdown isn't necessarily a recession is just a decrease, and we've been on such a tear that even though we decrease it, it isn't necessarily a bad thing. It may just be small, but it won't resemble the one in 2008. You know, no one knows for sure when the next recession will occur either. That's the other part. They all talk about that like they do know, but they don't know. And what is known, however, is that the upcoming economic slowdown, upcoming meaning at some point it's going to happen, will not be caused by a housing market crash, as was the case in 2008. That's why that's one of the big reasons we had the problem in 2008. There are those who disagree and are comparing today's real estate market with the markets that we saw in 2005 and 2006, which preceded that crash. And in many ways, however, the market is very different now. And here are three of the suppositions that I'm going to put forward and why they don't hold. The suppositions and why they don't hold, what people are saying. You know, a critical warning sign last time was that the surging gap between the growth in housing price and the household income. You know, today's home values have totally outpaced the wage gains. As in 2006, a lack of affordability will kill the market. So our wage gains, we're not having that problem. Our wage gains, we're gaining, which we did not back then. The gap between wages and home price growth has existed since 2012, and it is a sign of a recession. Why didn't we have one sometime in the last 7 years, you know, from 2012 to 2019, if that is an indicator of a housing bubble or a recession? Also, a buyer's purchasing power is much greater today than it was 13 years ago. And the reason is because mortgage rates are so low. That's part of the reason. Mortgage rates are low. The equation to determine affordability has three elements. It has home price, wages, and mortgage interest rates. So the mortgage interest rates, you know, really make a big difference. And they are almost 3% lower than we were in 2006. So that is a huge difference. And that is part of why I don't believe we're going to have a housing bubble, or why we're in a housing bubble. Also, in 2018, as in 2005, home prices began to grow slower with significant price drops occurring in some major markets. So in California, we started to see some major drops. You know, some of the places where the prices are high. We in Indiana in 2005 didn't really see that yet. Also look at Manhattan, where the home prices are in a near free fall. You know, so some areas are having some issues. The only major market showing true depreciation is Seattle, and it looks like home values in the city are about to reverse and start appreciating again. So Seattle, which is a very high-priced market, they have seen some depreciation, and it is starting to appreciate again. Now, I have family out in Seattle, and I know what I've looked up is telling us there's depreciation, but they're not telling me they're seeing that. And one of them actually is in the market for a home, and they're not seeing that decrease in value. So maybe the turnaround's already happened, because I wanted to talk to them before I came on, and they said no, they were not seeing that. Now, they're not real estate agents, but that they have not seen that, and they are actually in the market for houses, so they have been looking. But even then, CoreLogic is projecting that home price appreciation to reaccelerate across the country over the next 12 months. So they're projecting that home pricing is actually going to go up over you know, what it was. I want to go back to the supposition because I think I messed that up a little bit. The Manhattan prices were in a free fall back in 2005. They aren't in a free fall right now. They were a free fall back in 2005, but they are not right now. So the markets, all of the market, especially Indiana, is very, very strong. But the entire country is actually very strong right now in the appreciation of our homes. And with the appreciation, that's making a huge difference on the, you know, keeping our values and keeping us from being going into a, you know, having a housing bubble or going into a recession. Supposition number three, prices will crash because that is what happened during the last recession. And it is true that the home values sank by almost 20% during 2008 recession. We saw some decrease here. I don't think we saw 20%, but we did see some decrease here in Indiana. However, it is also true that in the four previous recessions before 2008, we actually saw home values only depreciate in those four. Only one time did they depreciate, and that was by less than 2%. The other three recessions, real estate increased by 3.5% in one, 6.1% in another, and 6.6% in another. So it's not, when we have a recession, it isn't a guarantee that real estate prices are going to fall. In fact, more times than not, it doesn't fall. And price is determined by supply and demand. We all know that. Supply and demand, we're seeing that in the market today. In 2008, there was a buy of inventory. Today's housing inventory is less than half of that. It's at a 4-month supply. So we don't have the supply that we had back in 2008. We have much lower supply, and so we're in a much better position. And another piece that will keep us from going into a recession or having a housing bubble. I won't be surprised if we do a small recession because we've increased so much. So it isn't unthinkable that we would see things slow down a little bit. But on the other side, I don't think it's going to affect the real estate market based on what we've just talked about. And we also need to realize that today's real estate market is nothing like 2008. That's what we've talked about. It's nothing like 2008. Therefore, when a recession occurs, it won't resemble the last one. It just will not resemble the same, that recession that we had back in 2008. Thank you for joining me, and please tune in next week. You think prices have skyrocketed? Wait till you see what's happening with the rental market. I really appreciate you joining me this week. I really appreciate you taking your time to listen to the show. If you have any questions about anything related to mortgage, please give me a call or send me an email. My phone number is 317-658-5240. That's 317-658-5240. Or go online to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. And just go to the contact information, fill that out, send that to me, and I will get back with you as quick as I can. Thanks again for joining me. Have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus with Rick Rickma. Please join us again next Saturday at 3:30 on Freedom 95.